Ladies and gentlemen, we are arming the United States Department of Agriculture with submachine guns and gender-specific body armor. This leads us to ask, why are we arming USDA with submachine guns and gender-specific body armor?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 969th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Portofino who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at MetroFarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Now, Aaron, I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
Good. Why is the USDA arming itself with submachine guns and body armor?
I'm not sure, but I'm afraid. I bet you're going to tell me, right?
No, I don't know. We're going to find out, though. We're going to look for an answer. Also with us today, producer Anna Ringelman. Anna?
Good morning.
Anna, why do you think USDA is arming itself in such a way?
Well, I couldn't really tell you, and I hope they tell us at some point.
Okay. Also, producer Kristen Carlson. Kristen, you've been thinking about it. Why is USDA arming itself with submachine guns and body armor?
Deer hunting?
Deer hunting. There you go. I like that. Deer hunting. Well, folks, the United States Department of Agriculture has issued a public request to purchase 40 caliber submachine guns with high capacity magazines and gender specific ballistic body armor. This public disclosure follows similar disclosures for the purchase of firearms and ammunition from the United States Department of Education, from the National Weather Service, from the Post Office, and from the Social Security Administration. Curious as to why a domestic government agency whose principal functions are to hand out money to farmers and food stamps to the hungry would need to arm itself with machine guns and body armor, we fired off a request for a clarification interview to the Office of Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. Though Vilsack did not respond to our request, we did receive an email from the Office of the Inspector General, which said, and I quote, "We'll respectfully decline the interview request. OIG does not do interviews, particularly on matters pertaining to investigations." Well, that being the response of government to our request for clarification, I reckon we are left to speculate on the reasons why the United States Department of Agriculture is arming itself with submachine guns and body armor. To aid our speculation, I propose we do some reverse engineering. Follow me for just a moment. When growing up in the wide open spaces of Montana, I did a lot of hunting with my father, brother, and friends. To be successful hunters, we always matched our firearm with our quarry. If hunting pheasants or ducks, we used shotguns. For elk or deer, we used large caliber rifles like the .30-06. For rabbits, small caliber .22s worked just fine. So to figure out why the USDA is arming itself with 40 caliber submachine guns with high capacity magazines and gender specific body armor, I propose we learn just what that weapon configuration is designed to do. In learning what it was designed to do, perhaps we can speculate as to why USDA is arming itself in such a way. Here to help us fire away today, we have Ray Parga, owner of Devel Gunsmithing in Marina, California. Ray, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, pleasure to have you aboard. First of all, for those who do not know, Anna, do you know what a gunsmith is?
I would guess they make guns, would be my guess, but
okay.
I don't know.
Do you make guns, Ray?
We do.
You do make guns.
A lot of repairs.
A lot of repairs. Mm-hmm. And so when people come into you, they bring in their guns and say it doesn't work or something, and you fix it.
It'll be in cases like that. There'll be family heirlooms that need to be refurbished.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just, they want something that fits them better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of trap and skeet shooters, hunters, that type of thing.
I have a .30-30 that my grandfather took for some cattle rustlers. That would be a family heirloom, wouldn't it?
That would probably be priceless.
Good, D-Lal Val Gunsmithing. You've been at it for quite a while. We always ask our guests who pays the way, so we wonder if you're getting a grant from Monsanto or something like that. So who pays your way?
Myself.
Yourself. So you're a professional gunsmith, and that's how you make your living, and that's that. So if people need to fix their guns, they can go to D-Lal Val, and you'll fix it for them. Okay, folks, here are the questions we're going to be working with today. What are people saying about why we are arming all those domestic government agencies with submachine guns and body armor? Why is government refusing to state why it's arming its domestic agencies with submachine guns and body armor? And, of course, why are we taxpayers arming the United States Department of Agriculture with submachine guns with high-capacity magazines and gender-specific body armor? That is where we're going to head, and I'd like to start off today by asking Ray what kind of rumors he hears circulating around the gun community as to what on earth is going on. We have all of these government agencies, I mean, the U.S. Post Office, Social Security, National Weather Service, National Education. What's going on?
There's been an ammo shortage now for about 2 years, 22 being the hardest caliber to find. And then we hear, you know, DHS is buying, you know, 1.5 billion rounds. And then they're asked about it. Oh, it's for training purposes.
1.5 billion rounds.
Right. Suppose the rumor is that the U.S. government just bought $4 billion worth of 22 ammunition. They said it's for training purposes.
So when we say 22 for Anna and Kristen here, who have never shot a rifle or a pistol, what is a 22?
22 is the actual measurement of the diameter of the bullet. It's a rimfire cartridge. It's been around since about the mid-1860s.
Mm-hmm. Small caliber.
It is.
Fun for shooting at tin cans and hunting bunnies and stuff like that.
Yes, and up until a couple years ago, it was probably the cheapest thing you could buy.
Mm-hmm. And why would the Department of Homeland Security buy $1 billion worth of 22 ammunition? Is because to train?
That's what they said. I mean, the U.S. government used to buy quite a bit of 22 for the military to do training because it's basically a subcaliber training device.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just everybody's speculating the government buys the ammo to keep the prices up and the demand high.
So that's the rumor is that the government is buying up all the ammunition, so Ray can't get any to sell at D-Lal Val Gunsmithing.
Right. I haven't had any 22 in my shop for about 8 months.
Wow.
And I used to stock it on the shelves constantly.
Yeah, so that's one of the fun things you can take to the gun range and shoot and not have to go bankrupt doing it, right?
Right. If you're teaching kids, you know, BB guns a good way to start, and then graduate them to a 22, and that way, you know, they can shoot for half the day and not spend a fortune.
Yeah, of course, that's what we learned to shoot with when I was a kid. When I was just a wee tyke, my father built us a 22 rifle, and we went down to the basement, and that's where we learned to shoot a rifle, in the basement, you know. But so there is no more 22 ammunition available.
Let me give you a perspective. When I took over the shop in 2004, I could buy a brick of 500 rounds of 22 at a dealer price for $7.50. The last time I priced that last brand, it was about $35 a brick.
Wow.
And it's unavailable. And if you go on auction sites and such, there are guys selling 500 rounds of ammunition for 22 for about $65 to $75.
So it's gone completely bonkers thanks to the U.S. government. Uh-huh. So, okay, I've heard other rumors. The other rumors I've heard that the Forest Service needs these weapons with respect to the submachine guns and body armor. The Forest Service, now, we all know that the Forest Service is, in fact, the Fish and Game Department especially, game warden is one of the most dangerous professions around, right?
Right. Just for the fact that they're basically isolated and backup is almost non-existent.
So you're out there in the wilderness and you're hunting people with guns, and so that's a dangerous job. But is a submachine gun the kind of
weapon gun,
that you would have to protect yourself?
That would have a limited range. Because, I mean, you're talking about a pistol caliber.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe 150 yards max.
Okay. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're hosting Ray Parga, who is the owner of DeVal Gunsmithing in Marina, California. But the question we're trying to come to grips with is, why is the United States Department of Agriculture buying submachine guns with high-capacity magazines and gender-specific body armor? Scratch your head on that one. I can't figure it out. Nobody here can figure it out. But we're trying to come to grips with it by reverse engineering what exactly this weapon configuration was designed to do. And then maybe we can figure out what the USDA is thinking by buying them. This is the Food Chain Radio Program, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
House plants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Welcome back. Michael Olson, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Food Chain, why are we talking about artillery on the food chain? Because the U.S. Department of Agriculture is seeking to buy 40 caliber submachine guns with high-capacity magazines. Also, gender-specific body armor. And we're here scratching our head over that, and we're talking with Ray Parga, who is the owner of DeVal Gunsmithing in Marina, California. Off the air, some of the best things happen off the air, of course. We were talking about the disappearance of 22 ammunition, which is kind of like the training wheels of shooting sports. That's what we use to train ourselves with and our children with. But there's another reason that 22s are so valued, and that has to do with zombies?
I hear it almost every day at my shop, and I get sicker than a dog. Yeah, and 22 is the best caliber for the zombie apocalypse. And I'm like, yeah, when it happens on cartoons.
Yeah. So, well, that must even add more to the cost of it. But we're talking about how 22s are like the training wheels of the shooting sports. It's what we are able to afford to do with our children and ourselves to train ourselves how to use firearms safely and effectively. So, for example, if we're going to take Kristen and Anna out and teach them how to shoot, we would use 22s because they're not really loud and not really obnoxious like a higher caliber. And it would be less expensive for them to shoot a bunch and get used to the firearms and how to use it. And that's pretty much dried up. The 22s are pretty much gone.
Right. There's people that'll sit at Walmart looking like they're waiting for tickets for a Grateful Dead concert and camp out and wait until they open up and the ammo shipment comes, and then everybody gets a number and everybody gets their allotment of 3 boxes.
Wow.
And a lot of people, the problem is a lot of the people that are going in there every time there's an ammo shipment, they don't need it. They just want it to hoard it.
Yeah. So, well, if they restrict something, that's the first thing everybody wants to do is hoard it, you know, go out and grab more of it.
Right.
So that's an artificial shortage, then there you go. So we're talking about other rumors. I've heard one of the things that the Office of Inspector General told me is that the United States Department of Agriculture is conducting undercover operations with respect to their need for submachine guns. And I just got to thinking about, submachine toting cami-clad, bulletproof-vested undercover agents at the farmer's market, and something just didn't seem quite right about that.
Well, when you want to make sure it's 100% organic, you want to be serious about it.
Yeah, so. You want to be deadly serious. Yeah. If you're selling something that's not organic and you're claiming it is, we have a submachine gun. The notion of an undercover agent running around with a submachine gun and bulletproof vests.
It used to be, you know, you had to be trained, and only specific personnel were trained, and they're certified or qualified in the submachine gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so there'd be designated guys that would carry them. But now it seems like everybody is getting issued a subgun, and it's, you know, it is a little bit disheartening.
So everybody's. I've had the opportunity to shoot both a MAC-10 and mm-hmm. an Uzi, and a MAC-10 is 40 caliber. And
Those are 45, 9, and 380.
Yeah, I think it was a 45 that we were shooting, yeah. and Uzi as well. They're scary.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really not aware of what you're doing, those things can be pretty dangerous, right. Because when you pull the trigger, what happens?
Yeah, it fires until you let the trigger off.
Yeah.
During the Reagan assassination attempt, you saw the Secret Service pull them out of the briefcases.
Yeah.
And that was... I mean, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, they came mm-hmm. just like that. So why do you think the federal government is not wanting to tell us what they're doing?
It's a good question. You think about it and you look at it and you go, okay. You know, and I was looking at some of the numbers as far as what they, you know, they have 31 agents and they want 100 and some odd thousand rounds. That's a heck of a training budget. You know, and
well, it's not that the Department of Education is buying Remington 12-gauge defenders.
Okay.
The Social Security Administration is buying 174,000 rounds of 357 hollow points.
Yeah, the 357 SIG is a real popular government round now.
Mm-hmm. And the National Weather Service is also buying 46,000 hollow points.
Yeah.
So... I'm at a loss here.
Yeah, it's like every government agency wants a little bit of the ammo pie, I guess, or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. And they're just everybody's arming up, which is kind of scary.
Why do you think these government agencies are arming up?
You know, I don't know. It's right now the government's afraid of everybody new buying guns, and then everybody. Buying guns is afraid of the government arming up. So it's like the Cold War escalation. And all of a sudden, okay, well, we got this. No, well, we have more of this, and we're buying more of this. And, you know, it's just one of those things where...
And the government gets all the ammunition because they have all the money, right? Yeah. Okay, so there we are. I'd like to talk a little bit about... I guess there's really no way... that we can come up with any kind of real speculation unless we sit there and we disassemble what they're requesting and perhaps come to grips with what these things are designed to do, and then maybe we'll have a better idea of why they're buying them. It's like I said when I was a kid, when going hunting, you always, you know, took a firearm specific to your quarry. If you're hunting birds, you had a shotgun. If you're hunting elk up on the high mountains, you had a high-powered rifle. If you're hunting bunnies in the sagebrush at 22, it worked just fine. So let's take a look a little at these things that the government is buying. Here in solicitation number USDA OIGWEA 5714. So this month, they ordered these things. So the first part of it is commercial acquisition of submachine guns. What is a submachine gun?
Submachine gun is a select fire weapon that has capability of firing single shot, fully automatic, which, like I said, fires until you release a trigger, or burst mode, which that's another setting. Or each pull of the trigger give you 2, 3, 4 round bursts.
Bang, 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 bang.
Right.
Bang, bang. I always shot mine full automatic because that was the most fun way of doing it. Kind of like a garden hose, right?
That's, yeah, it's a bullet hose, basically.
A bullet hose, yeah. 40 caliber.
Mm-hmm.
40 caliber, we were talking a little bit earlier about 22 caliber being in not big. Holy smokes, we have a whole... board full of callers, so we're going to have to pick them up here in just a minute. Hang on there. The 40 caliber must be a lot bigger than a 22 caliber.
It is. 22 caliber is just under a quarter of an inch in diameter. 40 caliber is just under a half inch in diameter.
Wow.
And then the bullet weight for a 40 is usually 165 to 180 grains, and there's 7,000 grains in a pound.
So that's a lot of, what, basic stopping power.
It is. The 40 Smith & Wesson was kind of an offshoot of the 10 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 millimeters even more larger and more powerful.
Right. So now there is always a great discussion in handgun crowds about what is the most valuable kind of handgun. And for a long time it was a 9 millimeter. And then there was always an argument about what kind of handgun you would want to stop somebody. And it always came down to, well, the 45.
Yeah.
And you're a specialist in that. The 45 is because it has that 45 caliber round, and it's kind of like throwing a big chunk of steel at somebody.
Yeah, that's a 230 grain bullet. And the 45 automatic stems from the 45 Long Colt that was in service from 1873 to about 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And the 45 Colt up until the 357 was about the most powerful.
Okay, you folks on the phone, hang in there. We're going to get to you as soon as we get back. We have just a couple more questions. We're learning what on earth this system is designed to do, and then we'll have a good idea of why it's being purchased by the United States Department of Agriculture. Those folks out there who hand out food stamps and pay farmers lots of money, they're the ones who are buying submachine guns. Why? Right back. Do stay tuned. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about guns on the food chain. Why are we talking about guns? Because the United States Department of Agriculture has ordered submachine guns with high-capacity magazines and gender-specific body armor for its agents. Why? That's what we're working with. And we have a few more questions, and then we're going to go to the phones, which are 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. 40 caliber. Somebody called up right in the break and suggested that a submachine gun fires pistol rounds, 40 caliber pistol rounds.
Correct.
And machine guns fire rifle rounds.
So that would be like your 308 Winchester, 7.62 NATO, 30-06, 8mm Mauser.
So when you're shooting these 40 caliber rounds, the first thing we know about them is that they're designed to stop people in their tracks, right? There's enough lead there, enough weight there to really for stopping power.
Yeah, the 40 caliber was kind of a bridge between the 9mm and the 45.
Yeah. The other thing we know about that is that they're not designed to shoot for great distances, correct?
No, you're a good shot with an accurate submachine gun, which, you know, is maybe 75 yards.
75 yards?
Yeah, and that's pushing it.
That's pushing it significantly.
Yeah.
having shot one, I think, good luck on that. So it's designed to stop, and it's designed kind of relatively for short distances.
Correct. It's primarily handguns.
Primarily handgun distances. They want ambidextrous safety. Well, there you go. It's good for left-handers and right-handers. Semi-automatic or two-shot burst or fully automatic.
Yeah, it sounds like their RFP is writing in the Heckler & Koch UMP is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Tritium night sights, front and rear.
Mm-hmm. Those glow in the dark for 12 years.
Oh. Rails for attaching flashlights and scopes. Why would you need a scope on a submachine gun?
The trend is like a red dot optic. No magnification, but it has basically the lens has a red dot,
mm-hmm.
and that's your aiming point.
So that you can see exactly where you're pointing there.
Yeah, it's kind of a quick acquisition type of thing.
Okay. Collapsible or folding stock. I guess that would be so you can keep it in your briefcase.
Right.
Okay. 30-round magazine.
Yeah.
That's a high-capacity magazine. Not allowed to do that when you're a civilian anymore, right?
Not in California, New Jersey, Hawaii, I believe.
Okay. Oversized trigger guard for gloved operations.
Yeah. the trend is wearing Nomex gloves.
Nomex gloves, what's that?
It's fireproof material, like in flight suits and
such. So if somebody, like, burned your hand or something, and you'd survive. Or
right.
Probably, yeah. Ballistic body armor. First of all, what the heck is gender-specific body armor? That one's got stuck in my head. Is there really that much of a difference between the vitals of a male and a female that there would be gender-specific body armor?
There is a difference in the way it fits. Uh-huh. Because a female cut is different, you know, for the anatomical. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be nice here. But, and vest fit is very specific.
Okay.
You usually have to get fitted for a vest to have it fit properly and cover all the vital areas.
Okay. So I guess that would be a significant thing. And ballistic resistant plates, what does that mean?
It sounds like
trauma plates.
Trauma plates, it sounds like to go with a ceramic type of body armor.
Mm-hmm.
To go, the military uses them. They're called plate carriers. They have a forward and a rear plate.
Okay. And a tactical vest?
That will be the plate carrier.
Okay. Undergarment white?
Okay. Well, maybe not.
So there it is. Who knows what that means? So, okay, here we have the system. What is it designed to do? That's the question. Is it designed to go hunting deer?
No.
No. Is it designed to hunt bunnies? No.
Yeah, some people would love that.
Oh, poor bunny, yeah. So it's a very specific kind. It's not a general purpose kind of firearm.
No.
In the sense that it's something you would have around the home, is it?
No.
You wouldn't have it around the farm, you know, to you know, chase coyotes away or anything like that?
No. You know, the submachine gun was, you know, quick history on that, early 1900s. And then in a little bit of use in World War One, quite a bit of use in World War Two, Korea, not so much in Vietnam. And then law enforcement used it quite a bit. The Heckler & Koch MP5s were used by GSG-9, SAS, FBI, and a few police agencies, but, you know, very specific purposes.
Anti-personnel.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So these are anti-personnel. Okay, so they're anti-personnel, but they're not for anti-personnel that are far away.
Correct.
They're for anti-personnel that are up close.
Close quarter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that they are machine or submachine guns are fully automatic, so that's kind of like crowds?
No, but putting, you know, a specific quantity of lead downrange quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, basically in a, you know, raid type of thing.
Okay.
Where
so it's designed to put a lot of lead downrange really fast.
Right.
Okay. What kind of situation do you see that being used in?
High-risk raids, felony warrants,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing.
Things like raw milk.
If it went bad, maybe, but
stuff like that. I mean, this is the USDA, right? I'm trying to make that connection here. Well, let's go to the phones and see what we can cook up here. First of all, we're going to start with Lee. Lee, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here, and we're talking with Ray Parga from DeVal Gunsmithing. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mike and Ray. I'd like to just give you 5 points quick. One of them, the two websites, Infowars.com, mm-hmm. PrisonPlanet.com. The camera crews were there 2 weeks ago. They found 100% in scale, a whole city with an underground rail system back in Virginia. Today,
Wait a minute. You lost me here.
Okay. It's a full-scale town on a military base that was built with our money that has a full-size Baptist church on it. And it is for training people that are in this new military that Obama has dedicated from his.
Just a sec. Now we have training facilities all over the country.
I understand. But this is for people, and it's targeted for the government. It's there through InfoWars. You can find where the government has shown this stuff. But
well, Lee, let me ask you this. We're going to have to take a quick break. But why do you think USDA is arming itself with submachine guns and body armor?
Christians, gun owners, and returning vets are the target, are the threat, because the...
Of the USDA?
No, the United States, the people that are in power have come up with it. Christians, gun owners, and returning vets. If you go to InfoWars.com...
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break, Lee, but thank you for tuning in, folks.
I have one more thing, please.
Hold on. I'll pick you up when we come back.
Thank you.
This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. We will be right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080.
Hello.
Okay, Lee, you're up. Now, let me ask you. You suggest that the USDA is buying submachine guns and body armor to go after Christians and veterans and gun owners, and that pretty much puts me in deep doo-doo. Why are they doing that?
Well, when they are confronted with
that's the USDA?
No, when the people of America, gun owners of America, people that are willing to stand up for our freedom, are confronted with a program that is going to take us into a training facility and re-educate our minds to the fact that we are no longer a free country, and that there's a takeover. I mean, today, Mike, as we speak, in Denmark, the Bilderbergers, the 60th year that they've gathered, meeting.
Let's bring this down to back to kind of what we're talking about, and I think Ray brought up this point about how the government buys more guns, and then we look at the government and we buy more guns. Is that what you're talking about here?
Not really. I'm talking about the people that have planned this whole thing, and they're called Bilderbergers, and they are coming to the point now where they are going to act like when World War II, when Hitler took the guns from his people, he then was able to take them over.
Okay.
I mean.
Well, let me suggest this to you, Lee. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
I'm not paranoid. I've spent 2.5 years studying this intensely, Mike.
Well, what I'm saying. Just because we're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get us, right?
Well, no. And I'll tell you something else. If they think that the men that we just honored a Veterans Day, but they called it Memorial Day. These vets that gave our lives ever since 1776. I mean, we cannot let the Redcoats or any of these Bilderbergers or
I gotcha. Thank you very much for that call, Lee. Really appreciate it. Let's try Dean. Dean, welcome to The Food Chain.
Oh, hi there. Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Not bad.
I got to tell you, this guy's the best gunsmith in California if you need your gun worked on.
Good.
And his knowledge is probably uncomparable also.
Where should he send the check?
Oh, well, maybe just a fact. Anybody who knows guns knows it. That guy that just called, he's got some good points, and so does Ray about, you know, people arm up, somebody else gets armed, somebody else responds.
Well, wait
a
minute. Let me ask you, Lee, why is the United States Department of Agriculture, I mean, this is a domestic government agency that hands out food stamps and money to rich farmers. So why is the USDA arming up? Can you think of any reason they would be buying submachine guns?
Sure, because politicians are the guys at the top. The politicians are paranoid, and so they want to respond. Possibly have the ability to respond with force against
respond
people.
Respond to
might,
what?
What?
Respond to what?
To somebody not liking their rules or not obeying their laws, and because they consider them unfair and unjust.
Do you think just as his Ray suggested, that we're in a situation of cold war between people and the government?
I think just like I said, Ray is correct. He's got a very good point. I was kind of amazed to hear him say that, but I think he's totally right.
So you think that's the situation?
Well, some people, but here's the thing, is if your neighbor has a cannon on his roof, some people might feel threatened and they may feel that they need a cannon because the neighbor might point his cannon at them. But a lot of people can settle their differences talking. Most people do.
Mm-hmm. But so let me ask you this. What do you think the weapon system of a submachine gun and body armor, what do you think that weapon system is designed for?
Well, it's probably not to shoot cows with, because they don't need it for that. Cows don't shoot back.
What about an undercover agent with the United States Department of Agriculture? Does that ring true to you?
Well, no, it's they don't need that. It's beyond belief. But anyway, I better let you go because you got a lot of callers. I don't let other people get in. Anyway, Ray's great. You're great. Have him on for a two-hour show.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's try Rory. Rory, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for the show, Michael. I was aware of some of these weapons purchases and obviously the ammo here recently in the last 12 months. My question is, why is the USDA not offering some kind of spokesman to come on and explain why they need this level of firepower for their programs?
Well,
have programs, right? Like you said, given out EBT cards and giving money away to wealthy farmers and everything in between, some advisory. Obviously, they've got USDA agricultural advisors, that kind of thing. So the question I ask is, what legal jurisdiction do they maintain that they have to beef up some kind of enforcement? Can't they rely on local county sheriffs and local police forces to do anything they need to do?
Ray?
To me, it's a little, it's beyond, to me, it's scary. You know, why is the government arming up a civilian police force? That's what it looks like to me.
Well, that's what I was wondering, too. I mean, if they're going to go arrest somebody selling raw milk, do they really need to have their own SWAT team, or why don't they just, you know, call in the county sheriff? Ray, what's going on?
There might be seizure money. You know, whenever there's a big drug bust, the local agency gets a portion of that. Maybe the U.S. government wants everything, that they're making a big seizure.
So if the USDA was going to bust somebody seizing raw milk, and they hired the sheriff's department to come in and do the arrest, they'd have to split the raw milk.
Everybody likes cookies, though.
Do you remember that?
Rory, can you hold on for just a minute?
Yes.
Okay, good. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. We're in the Wild West here today. We're talking about the United States Department of Agriculture's purchase of submachine guns and body armor, and we're trying to figure out why this government institution that hands out food stamps to the hungry and cash to farmers would need to buy submachine guns. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm just a guy with questions and no answers today. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned. Well, folks, we're trying to work out this situation in which our government agencies like the Department of Education, the Social Security Administration, the National Parks, I guess, they're all, the Forest Service, National Weather Service, but above all, the Department of Agriculture, USDA, why are these agencies buying artillery to the extent of submachine guns and body armor? Nobody here can figure it out. Rory, do you have any idea?
I don't. Why do we need basically street sweeper weapons to use against who? Are we sending these agents to foreign lands to fight in wars? I mean, it's a little crazy. The other thing is, if you recall, Michael, well, it's been 2-3 years since that raid on that, I call it a food speakeasy there at the Rossum.
Yeah.
In Santa Monica. Remember how many agencies were involved, and they were all armed to the teeth, including they had one Canadian regulator agency in on that raid. So we have to, as citizens, we've got to ask ourselves, this I think is a seminal question, why is the federal government getting bigger and bigger and more involved in day-to-day life decisions, like whether I want to eat organic or raw milk? Who's benefiting? Are they becoming a mercenary army for, say, very large corporations to stand to profit by controlling the food supply? And to me, I look at this and I say it's time to peel back and restrict the federal government, cut their budget down to bare bones, and start dissolving some of these agencies and sub-agencies that are trying to essentially run our lives. So that's the way I see it.
Thank you very much.
Strangle the monster.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Roy. Roy is in agriculture, knows all about that stuff. Ray, you're in guns. Why is the USDA buying submachine guns and body armor?
I wish I knew.
Any idea at all?
I wish I knew. Everybody's kind of speculating on it, and it's, you know, it's a big mystery. So we're just, you know, like I thought, well, maybe the federal government's going to legalize marijuana and they need a bunch of guards around the farms, but I doubt that's it. It's just, it's very, it's troublesome and worrying.
Are these weapons designed for pheasants or peasants?
Peasants.
Peasants. Who's the peasants?
I think most everybody that's not working for the federal government, I guess.
Well, what do you think out there? We have a couple of minutes left. Let's pick up John. John, welcome to the food chain.
Well, how are you doing? It's wonderful to listen to you guys. You know, the
are we crazy?
No. What's happened is it's a secondary military force that the government's establishing. These people that get armed are trained, and they're all trained basically the same way, the forestry department, whoever is trained in weapons. And it's a secondary. It's like how the brown shirts went into the SS with Hitler, or there was the same thing that happened with Stalin. So it's a secondary military force. And if somebody comes to your door with a Glock or an AR-15 or an M-16 and says, you will do this, you are going to do it, whether it's legal or not legal. And the other man stated it very big time. The government is getting too big, too powerful. Do you know that if you decide to
John,
leave the United...
John, we're out of time, but we get the message. Thank you very much for the call. Ray Parga, any parting shots, as it were?
Not that I can think of.
Nothing that you can think of. Well, folks, there it is. We have no answers. We have questions. Why are we arming the United States Department of Agriculture with submachine guns and body armor? Thank you all for tuning in. And remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.